Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5.
Hey, welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5-106.3 The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. As always, I'm your host, Robbie Stanley. Hope everybody's doing well on this Wednesday evening. The Nashville Predators, the mixed results during the past week since our last episode. They played what in many ways was, I think, their best game of the season last Thursday night against Calgary. You get the win on the road after a tough loss in Edmonton. You move ahead to Saturday night in Vancouver, where really for the first 30, 35, 40 minutes of that game, it was rough for the Predators, and they were getting handled. They had power play opportunities, couldn't advance, couldn't capitalize. But they battle back in the third period. They get the win in the shootout, and you're like, all right, feeling pretty good. You've won two games in a row after being destroyed by the Edmonton Oilers last Tuesday, which we talked about. And then you're feeling pretty good about yourself heading into the game last night in Seattle. And that's where things started to go off the rails a little bit for the Nashville Predators. They lose 5-1 last night. There's a lot to get to today here on the show. We're going to be joined by Nick Kieser, executive producer of Chase Willie and D-Mace, also a contributor for Predlines. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators and exactly what's going on right now. I'll offer some of my thoughts on the Predators and kind of where they go from here after what cannot be termed anything other than a disappointing start to the season. But we had a discussion about the game last night and some of the issues that have cropped up with the Predators this morning on Robbie and Rex Road with myself and Joe Rex Road. Here was that discussion on the Nashville Predators in the immediate aftermath of their 5-1 loss to the Seattle Kraken last night on the road. Rough one last night for the Nashville Predators, Joe Rex Road. They fall 5-1 at the hands of what I would call a surprising and surging Seattle Kraken team who moved to 8-4-2 on the season last night. So a nice start for the Kraken. The Predators, meanwhile, unable to build really any momentum at the moment. Losing 5-1 last night. Saros gets pulled after allowing 4 goals on 6 shots. And the Predators were just never in that one last night. So after 2 wins in a row, you have what I think was clearly your best performance of the season against Calgary on the road on Thursday night last week. You followed up with a come-from-behind win in Vancouver, where the first half of the game you got totally dominated, and the second half you come back and you win in the shootout on Saturday, and you just get your doors blown off last night. Joe, there's a lot to sort through right now. The long and the short of it to me is this. They're not a very good hockey team. Like, they're not good right now. And, you know, there's time to dig yourself out of that, and that could change. But right now it's very simple. They're just not a good hockey team. And they've had moments where they've looked okay so far this year. And like I said, the Calgary game was really good. They've had moments in other games where they've looked really good. But by and large, they have been incredibly inconsistent. And last night, like I said, they were just never in the game. And they had some brutal turnovers last night that led to goals in front of their own net. Had some really poor play in terms of defensive zone coverage at times. A lot of it of that was turnover related as well. But also, Joe, like, UC Saros is not good right now. He's not. And the numbers would suggest that. The first goal of the game last night was just brutal. It can't happen. Jordan Eberle has got a slap shot from above the top of the right circle that you need your goaltender to stop 100 times out of 100. And it goes in the back of your net, and all of a sudden you're down 1-0. And I had somebody on Twitter ask me this last night, Joe. How many times Saros has allowed a goal within the first 3 shots of the game? That was the 6th time in 10 starts for Saros last night that they've allowed a goal within the first 3 shots of the game. So, I mean, they're just digging a hole for themselves right from the jump in these games.
Yeah, that was a terrible goal, no question. And then you have terrible turnovers. McDonough, Niederreiter, you know, I mean, the rest of the onslaught in the first period was mostly in front of him. But of course you're right. I mean, he's been way below his level. I agree, they're just not good right now. Is McDonough, I don't overreact to McDonough, but like Is this possibly going to be a Clowney Julio type of situation where a Nashville team gets someone who was something way different before they got here, and then all of a sudden you realize it's just not the same
Well,
anymore?
it's looked really bad so far, and I have, I've got some patience in an 82 game season, especially with guys like that who have been around a long time and who have done it at a high level. But right now, I mean, he's not very good. And I think he's had some games this year where he's looked like Ryan McDonagh, but I thought he was horrible last night, and he's been bad on several occasions this year. So that is a deep concern to me right now. And Joe, that goes back to, the guy's played a ton of hockey. He's been around a long time. He's done a whole lot of winning, but he's also 33 years old. And right now, the whole team just looks slow. And they just look like they're getting beat to every puck. They're having trouble keeping up with teams in transition. They just look slow right now. And I think some of that is not really foot speed. It's more decision making with what they've got going on. And then you're in scramble mode after that. But no, I am concerned about Ryan McDonagh. There's no question.
Yeah, and not just his age, but I mean, how many springs has he played an extra 30 games or whatever it is,
Yeah.
right? Or, whatever the number is. He stacked those on top of each other. I mean, that kind of actually adds to your age in this game, right? It just adds to the mileage.
For sure.
Yeah, so I cuz obviously we talked earlier about, okay, McDonagh at home, probably not going to work. And I know part of that is Ekholm switching sides. He's just obviously more comfortable on his natural side. But I don't know, man. That one's a concern. I mean, they do have Forsberg going, so it's like all their high paid guys. It's not like that's a thing. The power play, I don't know. I didn't think it looked very good last night again.
No, I mean, it's just there's nothing that they're doing right now that they're doing well on a consistent basis. Nothing. I mean, defensively, it's not going well on a consistent basis. A goaltending with Saros in there, I don't think it's been very good. Power plays up and down. I mean, it's just they're really inconsistent right now. And look, you're 5-7-1. That's a really disappointing start for this group. And I know people are gonna say, well, look at the standings, look at some other teams. I do not care. I do not care about other teams. St. Louis has lost 8 games in a row. I do not care. It has nothing to do with the Predators. And, quite frankly, that's excuse making around here that's been done too much. I don't care. This team should be better than they've been so far. And, I think a lot of it is as simple as when your goaltender is not playing near the top of his game, that's a problem for you. And I think you and I are both well aware, and everybody that's watched this team is well aware of how much he's probably covered up over the course of the past couple of years with the way that he's played in goal. And when you're not getting that from him, it's hard to win that way. Now, having said that, to me, there is no excuse for this team to be as bad defensively as they've been. And some of that is just as simple as, well, quit turning the puck over and you won't be that bad defensively. I mean, that was kind of the case last night in the first period of take better care of the hockey puck, and that's at least 2 goals that you're not giving up there. So some of it's as simple as that, but with McDonagh, Josi, who I don't think has been very good so far this year, Ekholm I think has been better since they made the switch, but they got too many guys that have been good players in this league for a long time to be as bad as they've been defensively. And you can throw the forwards in there too. Like, it's their job to defend as well. And they just got problems up and down the board right now. So, look, I sense a great deal of frustration from Predators fans, justifiably so. I've said this a lot. You and I have been very patient with the coach. We've talked about the general manager and his status with the team. Right now, they're a mess. And it's time to, we're closing in on Thanksgiving. It's time to get it figured out. And you're approaching the point when you get to Thanksgiving. We talk about this every year. Maybe sometimes you just are what you are. And I'm not willing to go there yet with the Predators because I do have faith that at some point Saros is going to snap out of this. But right now they're a bad hockey team.
Yeah, I mean, if they are what they are, boy, what a few months ahead we have. on the future of the Preds front. I mean, I'm doing a mailbag, you know, for the Athletic, you know, for tomorrow, and there's a by far most popular question, which is basically, is Hines going to get fired? Is Poile going to get fired? Or are Hines and Poile going to get fired? You know, I mean, that's the fan base's. And again, that doesn't mean that's necessarily the whole fan base's mindset, but I think a lot of people have that on their mind. Of course, there's also people asking if John Robinson's going to get fired. So, you know, look, people like to ask about people getting fired. Okay. Yes. But no, that's, and look, this question, and this is just, look, I'm not qualified to answer this, but, and I kind of reject the idea, but I do get a lot of, is it just that the Hines system is just, you can't really win big with his system? I just, like, to me, my first impulse there is like, I mean, they're playing hockey. I don't think it's some non-starter or it's some limitation, like his actual system. But no. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think the system thing is maybe the most overblown thing in sports when it comes to a hockey coach. It's probably not the most overblown thing in sports, but it's up there. Like, a lot of hockey is reading and reacting. Yes, there are systems. There's a defensive zone coverage structure that you need to have in place. There's a plan of attack that you've got offensively in place. I mean, you can talk about neutral zone coverage. You can talk about getting in on the forecheck, everything that goes into that. But by and large, Joe, I mean, the systems from team to team, most of the time, usually aren't that different. I mean, you've got some different systems. It's not like everybody does the exact same thing, but it ain't that different. Like, I don't think the system is really the problem right now. Now, I'm not absolving John Hines of blame. Look, to me, everything's on the table right now with the way that they played.
Sure.
But
sure,
a lot of this is, I mean, look at the game last night. You have a goalie that couldn't stop the puck on the first shot. And the other two goals to begin that part of it, actually it was goal two came on transition after a turnover and the Predators got caught flat-footed. Goal three was a turnover from McDonough and goal four was a turnover from Niederreiter. Like, we could talk about system, but that have anything to do with the system? You just turned the puck over and you didn't stop the puck.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the whole system thing, like at the end there with Laviolette, you know, these people sending me all these blue blobs proving to me why his system can't work. I'm like, guys, he's been in the NHL long. I think he knows how to have a system. Like, I mean, now is his voice running out in the room and stuff like that? Sure, that I can get, but yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know why I always want to make football hockey comparisons, but it's kind of like this, the default to the OC, right?
Yeah.
Not that the OC in a team can't be bad or deserve firing, but, like, it's just the easy thing to do. And not almost always, but very often overblown.
Well, and look, we've talked about David Poile and his status with the team and particularly his status with the ownership group. I don't really expect anything to happen there. I understand fans asking questions about Poile and asking questions about Hines. I do. I mean, I understand the frustration. But I said this last night on Twitter, and you can think whatever you want to think. You can call me an idiot. You can do whatever you want. This is just the way I feel. Preds have had three coaches in 25 years. Like, just based on their track record, I don't really expect them to be a team that has the quick trigger on the coach this year. That's just me. Could be wrong, but the track record would suggest that there's not much danger of him getting fired at the moment. Now, again, this totally falls off the wheels, then maybe we're having a different discussion, but Joe, I think the Predators have demonstrated they are way more patient than most, maybe patient to a fault at times.
Well, for sure. And I mean, with Poile, I mean, that's a totally, it's like just separate it from basically how pro sports work for the most part. But with Hines, like let's take Hines's tenure here and just translate it to, I mean, you translate to any other team in the league. I don't think he'd be I think with it, now with some teams in this league, it is fast, really fast. But I think for most of them, he wouldn't be like on the verge of being fired right now.
I don't think so. I mean, look, they're 5-7-1. It's not like they're, you know, 2-10-2 or whatever it would be. I mean, they're It's a problem right now. There's no question about it. There is still some time to turn things around, but I totally understand the frustration from Predators fans. This team has been an absolute disappointment thus far through the early going in the season. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Nick Keiser, executive producer of Chase Willie and D-Mace, also contributor for Predlines. We'll get his thoughts on exactly where the Predators are right now and what the concern level should be for Predators fans. That's coming up next. This is Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you as always. And we go to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in the great Nick Keiser to the program. Keiser's corner contributor here on Preds Insiders. Of course, executive producer of Chase Willie and D-Mace, and also contributor at Predlines as well. Nick, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing great, Robbie. What a great introduction, man. I'm so humbled by the introduction, but I'm doing great, man. It's glad to hear from you this morning.
Well, that's why they call me a professional here on this broadcast. That's what we're going to be here, is just total professionals the whole time. Speaking of professionals, the professional hockey team, things aren't going very well for the Nashville Predators right now. I thought, Nick, they played their best game of the season in Calgary, looked really good in that game. A tale of basically two different games in Vancouver. They were awful the first half of that game. They come back, they get the shootout win. And then last night, basically from start to finish, they got their butts kicked against the Seattle Kraken. So I say all that to say they're 5-7-1. You're 13 games in at this point. What's your concern level with this group right now if you're a Predators fan?
Man, I have a high concern level. I mean, look, you have to deal with the inconsistent forward group. I mean, overall it's inconsistent, but the thing that concerns me the most is the team on offense, because you look at guys that we added from free agency or signed to long-term deals, you know, i.e. Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene, two guys that combined for over 80 goals last year. That's concerning to me, that we have guys that are not producing at the start of the season. I know Matt Duchene had a slow start last year. Philip always has an interesting start to his seasons, but nobody looks good right now. And I think John Hines has really been trying to figure out what works well. And, you know, one thing I thought was intriguing too with his concern level was he addressed the defense, I think, more than he did the forwards. I mean, look, Jordan Gross came in and scored twice, and nobody would have guessed that. I mean, you'd have $1 million if you had put down Jordan Gross scoring his first two NHL goals in the same game. I mean, that was crazy just being able to see that. But, no, and I think the other thing that stands out to me like a sore thumb right now is UC Saros. And I'm sure that we'll talk more about him, Robbie, but UC Saros has not been too impressive this year. And yeah, they did play well against the Flames. That was probably their best example of what a team can be right now. But I'm not really all that encouraged with their consistency right now as a group.
Well, you bring that up, and you know the numbers right now for UC Saros are bad. I mean, they're not just, you know, unlucky. They're bad. And you can dig into 5-on-5 save percentage and, you know, expected goals against, all these different things. The bottom line is all the numbers right now for UC Saros are bad, and he's given up a goal on either the first, second, or third shot of the game in 6 of his 10 starts so far. So last night he's pulled 4 out of 6 shots the Kraken score on. I think the first one definitely was his fault. Other than that, there were some ones that you could point to and say, all right, well, what's he really supposed to do there? But it's the NHL. It's goaltending. You need your goaltending to be at a high level, and it has been for the most part when UC Saros has been in net. He has started slow in seasons before. I don't know if he's ever started quite like this as he's taken over as the starting goaltender for the Predators. So as you watch him play, what's your concern level about UC Saros and the way that he's played to this point?
I mean, the biggest thing is seeing how he's been moving in the net. And I know that people may not pick up on that as quick, but that's something I noticed as an observer of the game is, how is he moving in the net? And yeah, he's a smaller guy, but you have to think, how can he put himself in the right place at the right time? I mean, that's, you know, that's obviously what the goalie's job is. But I think for him, he needs to be, you know, a little more aware of the fact that His defense isn't playing as well, so he's got to remember that I've got to have my eyes on where the puck should be and where it should be shot at. You know, he gives up a lot of goals, you know, in the top corners, and, you know, he gives up a lot of rebounds right now, and that's something that he was pretty good at, I think, the first 2 years of him being a starter for the most part. And, hey, we end up may having, you know, Coach Pex giving him some lessons here in the next few days or so when he gets back to Nashville. But I really think that UC needs to slow his game down a little bit. I think, you know, with a start like this for him, Robbie, I really think that because he's not had a start like it, I think he's going to have to adjust in a way that he hasn't before. And he is going to battle some adversity. I know we have Colorado coming up next. And, hey, we may see Kevin Lankinen in play. But I think UC needs a game to himself to figure out, you know, what he needs to fix again. I know he needs a few wins under his belt to get back to where he should be. But, yeah, I really think UC Soros, he needs to just slow his game down. And, you know, in his head, he needs to be doing well mentally. You know, you can ask Chris Mason, you can ask anybody that, you know, has played goals for the Predators. You know, they need to just be there mentally too. And that's just as important for anybody. But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing for UC, honestly, Robbie.
Nick Keyser with us here on Preds Insiders. So Nick, there's obviously in the fan base right now a lot of talk about some of the lineup decisions that have been made, whether that be Philip Tomasino sit down in Milwaukee, whether that be Cody Glass and Eli Tolvanen being healthy scratches for the past couple of games, whether that be Carrier or Fabro being scratched on defense. I guess as you factor in the whole, the one thing all those guys have in common is they're relatively young players. What do you make of the lineup decisions that John Hines and his staff have gone with so far this season, particularly as it relates to some of these younger forwards being either healthy scratches or, in Tomasino's case, being sent down in Milwaukee?
Yeah. You know, Tomasino, I believe, has done exactly what we have expected him to in Milwaukee. I think him tearing up that league is just as important right now for his development. And fans are going to obviously keep questioning until he comes back, you know, like it's the second coming of Jesus, that he needs to be back. And yeah, he's playing well, but give him some more time. Yeah. That's the one thing I want to put out there first, is give him some more time. He needs to be confident with his game. I thought that he didn't, you know, play well with his confidence last year. But I would say, regarding the pieces that we have now, I remember when Mark Jankowski got called up, and I knew that when Kiefer Sherwood was going down, that Mark was probably going to be the guy that came up. And to me, when I watched Jankowski play in that first game against the Flames, oddly enough, who drafted him 12th overall in 2012, I thought that Mark held his own. I thought that he put himself in the right place. And, you know, his goal came off of him, you know, on a shift change. And I think that's something you want to see. You want to see your guys as hungry as possible. And that's something that Jankowski brought to the table. And I think that now that he's, you know, here, he's going to continue to be like that guy. But I also have been rather okay with Cole Smith being here still. I think he kind of just hits bodies for the most part, but he's had a few good scoring chances, and that's something that I've been happy to see, but I've not been happy to see it only be a few opportunities. He needs to find the back of the net at some point, you would think. But on defense too, Robbie, because I already threw his name out there, I think Jordan Gross, he's not bad. He was AHL Defenseman of the Year last year. And I know that that's AHL Defenseman of the Year, obviously, but that is some, you know, highly, that is some highly, you know, good regarding something to have on your resume is what I was looking for. But I really think Jordan scoring those two goals, obviously, like I said, was crazy to see, but I think the Predators need to assess what they have between him, Favreau, and LeVon. One of those guys has to stay. Someone's got to go. If Jordan has to go back and they end up going back to LeVon and and Favreau, then they need a pick. I think that's something that John Hines and David Poile perhaps have been talking about, is what they can do on defense, because they have not been great this year. And that's something that has been a stalwart for Nashville for the last 24 years, has been their defense. And I'm very concerned with that, obviously.
Well, to that point, Nick Kieser with us here on Preds Insiders. What have been your impressions of Ryan McDonagh thus far? Coming from Tampa Bay, obviously the trade in the offseason, a limited sample size to this point, but a sample size to you said, or like you said, I mean, the defense as a whole has been a problem at times for the Predators. What have been your thoughts on Ryan McDonagh?
I think Ryan's been exactly what I expected him to be, but I can tell he's a guy that's struggling in this system that he's not played in before. And I know it's kind of similar to what he's been with previously because he's been with Tampa Bay and he's been with the Rangers. And, you know, under those coaches, I know that he's played the same style throughout his whole career. He's not going to be flashy and score you points. He's a lot like a Matthias Ekholm, but he's a better version of him. I don't see him block as many shots, although he's more than capable of doing it. And I think what we've seen him do more or less in Nashville, Robbie, is he's had good hockey IQ at times. And when I've seen him play at his best ability, he's been phenomenal. But I really think that right now, the mistakes that he's made, they've turned into costly goals against. And that's something that really does get to you if you can't play consistently. And that's something for Ryan that he's got to get down here. And I hope that he can here in the next week or so, but his play so far, I would say for him, it's been subpar, but I know he can play a lot better than that. He's more than capable of it. He's a big dude. He makes smart passes, which is something I'm very happy with. But you know, some mistakes he's made have been costly and there's been goals allowed and we can't have that, obviously.
Nick, last thing for you here. You know, it's an 82-game season. It's a long grind of a season, and there have been teams that have started worse than this Predators team before, that have made the playoffs, that have gone on playoff runs, all those different things. So I think everybody that's being rational about this discussion knows that the season is not over yet. But with that being said, the expectations with this team, the way they've looked 13 games in at 5-7-1, and with the issues that we've highlighted in this conversation, what do you think the sense of urgency needs to be inside the locker room with the players to get this thing turned around before it spirals out of control?
It's got to be as high as possible, honestly, because if it's not as high as possible, then these guys are not going to be in the postseason. And really, should they be? You know, that's the main question that you have to ask yourself. And obviously, this group right now is nowhere near what they should be at for a postseason run. I mean, the Predators are going to have to put together a string of wins here. They're going to have a better month of December, I think, to really put themselves back in the conversation, because right now they're nowhere near it right now, Robbie. I think we all know that. But being a below 500 team in the Central, you have to really, really start stringing together some wins, and if you don't, you're going to get left in the dust, and we have seen that before. You know, look at teams like Chicago and Arizona, who are playing better than people have expected them to, and that does not help the Predators' case whatsoever. So Nashville is really going to have to put together probably a streak of kind of like Seattle. Just, you know, they just dropped their fifth win in a row on us. We got to put together runs like that, and if we can do that, if we can be confident as a group, because you know, John Hines' identity that we keep going back to, he wants his team to play as consistent as possible, and they're not doing that right now. So, Robbie, that's what they really need to be after right now. And if they cannot be as consistent as possible, then that's, you know, that's on them at the very end of the day, completely on them.
Nick Kieser, our guest here on Preds Insiders, executive producer of Chase Willie and D-Mace, also contributor at Predlines as well. Nick, great stuff, buddy. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
Awesome. Thank you, Robbie.
Coming up next, I'll give you some of my thoughts on the Predators and where exactly they go from here as they are staring down the barrel of the Colorado Avalanche coming up tomorrow in Denver and then returning home after the West Coast road trip. All that coming up next. This is Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Robbie Stanley here with you, as always. Thanks to Nick Kieser for joining us in the last segment. It's an interesting time for this team in the Preds. We've talked on a weekly basis here on this show about the expectations with this group and what is required from this team and what the expectations should be for this group as they head into this year. And I think it's beyond fair to say that they have disappointed
so far. 5-7-1 through 13 games. You're at 11 points, a negative 10 goal differential. I mean, there's not very many things that you could point to right now with the Predators that would suggest that their stats look good. I mean, you know, you want to talk about what was so important to them last year on the power play. They're 29th in the league on the power play right now heading into tonight's action at 14.3%. There's not much you can point to with the Predators that's going well right now. I mean, I was talking to Nick about it. We talked about it earlier on the show with myself and Rex Road as well. Juuse Saros is an interesting problem right now because he has had some seasons where he started off a little slower, especially when he wasn't the starting goalie. Like since he's taken over as the starting goalie, he's been pretty good for the most part. I mean, he's gotten better as the season's gone on. I think that's certainly fair, particularly a couple of years ago when the Predators were not good in the first half of kind of the COVID-shortened year, and in the second half, he was the best goalie in the league. I mean, it was what it was. So it's not necessarily abnormal that he's starting slow. It is abnormal that he's starting this slow. Like, he's been pretty bad so far. And we laid out the numbers earlier, whether you want to talk about, you know, save percentage at even strength. Alex Doherty of A to Z Sports threw out some numbers earlier today that are pretty eye-opening when it comes to Juuse Saros and what he's done thus far. He's near the bottom of the league in a lot of these categories that we talk about a lot, including goals saved above average, or goals saved above expectation, whichever way you want to phrase it. I mean, that's usually a stat that he is, if not leading the league in, very close to the top of the league. And so far this year, he's been bad in that regard. So, and you know, Rex Road brought up an interesting point this morning that I think can be encouraging if you're a Predators fan. I mean, let's think about what's going on with this team right now. You have a goaltender who has proven to be a goalie that can play at a very high level that's not there right now. I mean, he's not close to his top level. So could that get better reasonably as the season goes on? Yeah, I think it's fair to say that it could. I think it's fair to say that it probably will get better as the season goes on, you know, as if recent history is any indication. So, you know, I'm not sitting here panicking about Juuse Saros and the way that he's played so far this season. Now, one thing I will say, you know, I hear a lot about the play in front of Saros, and I'm with you. It's not good. It's got to be better. I mean, some of those turnovers, especially in that Seattle game, were just awful, and they're giving up breakaways and shorthanded breakaways, all these things. The puck management, as we call it, in terms of making the correct decisions with the puck and making sure you're taking care of that, it's got to get better. I mean, there's no question about that if you're the Predators. I think one thing that happens, and it happens around here a lot, and I'm not picking on Preds fans, and I'm not picking on Preds media, but one thing that happens sometimes is everybody's quick to blame everybody else except the goalie. That happens all the time. It happened with Pekka. And the bottom line is, there were times throughout Pekka Rinne's career where it was his fault. Like, he was not stopping the puck. And there have been times in Juuse Saros' career where it's his fault and he was not stopping the puck. I'm not exclusively blaming Juuse Saros. But right now, it feels like he's given up a goal or two a game that when he's on, he stops. And the question is, what sort of a difference would that make if he starts stopping the puck? That's, you know, in some games, maybe it doesn't make that big of a difference. I think some games it does. So the bottom line is, for this team to come close to accomplishing what my expectations were in the preseason, what I think a lot of people's expectations were for this team, which was to be a good team in the regular season, to be a playoff team, and to be a team that's competing for maybe the second or third spot in the Central, that's going to require Juuse Saros to be at the top of his game. Not every night, but most nights. It's going to require Juuse Saros to be the goaltender that he's been the last couple of years prior to this one. And if he's not there, I just don't think that there's enough margin for error the other way. The other part of this is defensively. And I'm not just talking about the defensemen, but I will kind of settle in on that for a few minutes. Whatever combinations that they're trying to throw out there right now, you know, they started this season with Ekholm and McDonough paired up together with Ekholm being on the right. They didn't stick with that very long, and the numbers would suggest that didn't go very well. Okay, so you move Juuse back to his left side. You move McDonough down with Lauzon for the most part on, I guess, the quote-unquote third pair that's been out there. You know, there have been times where it's worked out well. Like, I think Lauzon, has played okay at times. Ekholm moving back to the left certainly, I think, has helped him and helped his game. But overall, like, it's got to get better. You know, Alex Carrier, I don't think he's been very good so far this year, and I think it's part of why, in addition to Gross coming up and giving you something offensively, especially on the power play, that's part of why Carrier's been scratched the last couple of games. You've seen Dante Fabro be scratched at one point already this season as well last week against Edmonton. So I think there's room for concern not only with the young defensemen, but let's just think about the young players on this team. And for some of you, this is when coaching is going to get brought into the equation. And I can't say that, I necessarily disagree. I can't say that you don't have a point. Let's think about the young players and the supposed future of this team and what that looks like. And I'm not talking about, you know, guys in Milwaukee who haven't played here yet, like Afanasyev and Luke Evangelista, those guys. We'll continue to see what they're going to grow into and what they look like one day when they're NHL players, because I think both those guys eventually will be. Well, let's think about this. Eli Tolvanen, who's been here now for a while. Dante Fabro, who's been here now for a while. Alex Carrier, who's not really all that young anymore, but he's been in the rotation, in the lineup for a while. Philip Tomasino, who most people, myself included, had penciled into a top six role to begin this season. He's in Milwaukee right now. Let's think about the young pieces. Cody Glass, you make the trade, you get Cody Glass from Vegas last year in the three-way trade with Philly, Vegas, and yourself to deal Ryan Ellis to Philly. Cody Glass is the main piece you get back in that. Well, he's been a healthy scratch the last couple of games. So you're sitting around as a Preds fan and you're saying, all right, well, you've acquired some of this young talent. And right now you got a player in Eli Tolvanen who was a first-round pick who I remember in your 2018 President's Trophy season, the general manager at the trade deadline saying, yeah, you know, I don't know if we want to make things, you know, stir things up too much because Eli Tolvanen could have a spot in the top six when he comes over. Think about that conversation then and what we've seen from Eli Tolvanen since then. He's not come close to living up to those expectations. You got Tolvanen that's been a healthy scratch. You got Dante Fabro, who I said on Twitter last week, and I stand by it. It kind of feels like he's been the same guy for the last 3 years. You know, I'm not saying there aren't aspects of his game that have gotten better. But you moved on from P.K. Subban, yes, contractually. You needed to free up the money to get Matt Duchene, and I understand all that. But also part of the reason they did that was because Dante Fabro came on the scene, and he played well, and they thought that he could handle being a top four defenseman. Well, right now, it kind of feels like we're still asking the same question. Can Dante Fabro handle being a top four defenseman? And we're talking about 3 years ago at this point. You know, I'm not saying that he's not a good player. I'm not saying that there's not a spot for him on the team, but at some point, like if you're not making that next jump to being a top four defenseman, how much longer can you really wait with a guy like Dante Fabro? So you got Tolvanen in his situation, Fabro in his situation, Philip Tomasino, who at the moment's not helping at all because he's down in Milwaukee, and by the way, he's lighting it up down there. He's down in Milwaukee, didn't make your team out of camp. That's disappointing. I don't care which way people try to spin it. I've been consistent on that from the jump. That is very disappointing to me. So you got him down in Milwaukee, and you got Cody Glass that was one of the stories of training camp, who I think got off to a pretty good start of the season and has found his way out of the lineup the last couple of games. So I bring all that up to say, what does that tell you? What does that tell us about the direction this team is going as it relates to some of these younger guys? Look, guys, the bottom line is Roman Josi, Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, Mikael Granlund, Matthias Ekholm, guys like that, I mean, they're not getting any younger. And they're right now in the primes of their careers. And we talked about this last year specifically with Duchene about, you know, how much can you realistically expect from them as they move forward. Duchene scored 43 goals last year. I think it was beyond reasonable to expect that goal total to drop down this year. But what you need to have happen when you have guys that are already in their prime that here in the next year or two could be coming out on the other side of that, you need some of these younger guys to step into those roles and to assert themselves into the top six, into some of those roles, and kind of have that next wave of talent. And I'm looking at this Predators team right now, and I'm looking at Tolvanen and Glass and Tomasino and Carrier and Fabro and all these different guys. And I wonder, how bright really is the future with those guys? Neil, I'm not by any means giving up on a guy like Philip Tomasino. I mean, I think there's a lot of ability there. I think this year at some point he's going to help them. And maybe this stretch in Milwaukee ends up being a really good thing for him. I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like that you're struggling right now, and a guy that personally I feel like is the best chance to help you in your top six is not playing for you right now. So I don't like that. But maybe that ultimately ends up being a good thing. But the bottom line is this. Like, I think it's fair to say that Eli Tolvanen is probably not going to be what they thought he was when they drafted him. He's just probably not. I think Dante Fabbro is probably not going to be what they thought he was when they drafted him. And I'm not saying those guys can't play in the NHL, and they're not good players, and they can't have their moments where they look really good. But at some point, enough's enough. Like, I keep hearing about Eli Tolvanen being a top six forward, and here we are 3 years later in that discussion, and it looks like he's no closer to being a top six forward than he was. I mean, that's where we're at with some of these young guys. So that part of it to me is concerning. Now, I know some of you listening are hearing me go through all this and say, well, yeah, Robbie, that's because of the coach. That's because the coach can't develop young talent. And look, I don't know that I buy that all the way, but I will say, I mean, the track record right now with some of these younger guys isn't great. Now, I've said this before. If you're going to knock Hines for Tolvanen and some of these other young guys, Glass, whatever, I mean, Tanner Janot looks pretty good. He's a younger guy. He's come up through the system. I know it's a different role, but you know, you can't knock him for one and then not give him credit for the other. So it's a mixed bag. It's a more complicated situation than this guy just can't develop young players. Matter of fact, I remember when John Hines was hired, one of the things David Poyle talked about was his ability to develop young players. So it's a long, drawn-out, complicated way of saying the concerns that I have with the Predators right now go beyond just what we're seeing on the ice from their veteran guys. It's also, is there anything coming up immediately in the immediate future of the pipeline that gives you any chance? Because right now, there's a lot of disappointment going around, and I think some of the young guys are wearing the collar on that as well. We'll have more coming up on Preds Insiders, more thoughts on the Preds as they resume their season tomorrow against Colorado to finish out the five-game road trip. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Preds Insiders, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Robbie Stanley here with you. As always, we are taking your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So an important stretch coming up for the Preds. They close out their road trip coming up on Thursday night in Colorado. They'll take on the reigning Stanley Cup champion, Colorado Avalanche. And then 8 of their next 9 games after that will be at home. So you got the Rangers on Saturday, then Minnesota next week, Islanders, Tampa. You got a game a couple of weeks from now in Detroit, which is kind of that one breakup there right before Thanksgiving. 8 of the next 9 coming up at home for the Predators after tomorrow's game in Colorado. So there is an opportunity there to collect some points at home to maybe get yourself back into this. But, you know, this is a Colorado team that, I mean, the talent is evident. We don't have to talk about Colorado's talent. They have gotten off to a little bit of a slower start this year than I think most anticipated. You're 6-4-1, so it's not necessarily a bad start by any stretch of the imagination. But with the Colorado team that we expect to blow the doors off most teams, maybe an opportunity there if you're the Predators. Like, I think if you're the Predators, it's important to come out with your best game. I'll be honest, I'm really interested, and I'm not saying that the Predators have any goaltending controversy or anything like that, but just based on the way they've looked lately, I'd kind of be interested to see if they put Saros in the game for that or if they go with Lankinen. You know, I think in a perfect world, you'd like for UC Saros to be in the game against your divisional opponent in the Colorado Avalanche and to see what he's got and maybe see if he can respond after a tough outing last time out against Seattle. But I'm interested to see. I'm interested to see what the Predators do from that perspective, from a lineup perspective. Do guys like Tolvanen and Glass, who we spent last segment talking about, do they get back in there tomorrow against a team in Colorado that can absolutely burn you with the speed they have? They also have an element of physicality to them, a pretty well-rounded team, which is a big part of why they won the Stanley Cup last year. So, and then there's just the obvious of, you know, how do the Predators deal with guys like MacKinnon and Makar? I'll tell you this, if the execution level, which I think has been wildly inconsistent for the Preds so far, if it's not on top of their game tomorrow against the Avalanche, Preds are going to get embarrassed. Like, you can't have turnovers around your net, turnovers along the wall, you know, getting caught in transition. You can't have that against guys like Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen and Cale Makar and some of the guys that bring to the table. Remember, Gabriel Landeskog will not be a part of this game. He's been out with an injury, and he'll be out a few more weeks with an injury as well. But, you know, there's still a lot of talent, a lot of depth that Colorado brings to the table. So that's the main thing. If I'm John Hines, that I'm going over, I'm sure he has been going over it, and I'm looking at the video and I'm saying, puck decisions, puck decisions. Yes, you need your goalie to be better. Look, you need everybody to be better. There's no question about it. Roman Josi's got to be way better than he's been. You can go up and down the list of guys that need to be better. I think a lot of it starts with making the correct decision with the puck. Making sure if it's not there, you're dumping it in. It sounds boring. You're getting in on the forecheck, and you're trying to force a turnover again from there. Not saying you can't take chances. Not saying you can't make plays when they're available to you. But some of the decisions and execution from the Predators has been absolutely killing them lately, and you can't have that against Colorado. So we'll see how they do. We'll see how the Predators step up and respond in their final road game of the trip before coming back home and playing 8 of their next 9 at Bridgestone Arena. That does it for us today here on Preds Insiders. We'll be back next Wednesday, and hope everybody does well. Until that time, we'll see how the Predators respond. This is Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.